Amen. It's good singing this morning. Amen.
I just love being in the house of the Lord. And I agree with what Brother Chris said about preaching. But I'll say this. It's where the Holy Spirit's at. See, the Holy Spirit will either make you very happy and joyful, make you praise God, make you just appreciate the mercy of God, or it'll make you miserable. Sometimes I see people, and it's almost like, you know, they're all right at church as long as the Holy Spirit's not moving. But when the Holy Spirit gets to moving, they just ready to find the exit door. Kind of like a girl down there where I work, you can take a little mouse that weighs about 2 ounces on a sticky pad, walk by her office, and she said, if you want a door, just show me where you want it made. That's the way sometimes people are when they get around the things of God. I love the Spirit of God, and I want God to be in our presence. I want God to be in my life. I want God to speak to me. And let me say something else. I want God to convict me. See, I am a born-again child of God, got saved when I was 12 years old, but I want God to convict me, speak to my heart, let me know where I stand. You know what that means? That means two things. That means, I know Him, because if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, it's no wonder you do the things that you do, because you have no realness or no evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I want God to convict me, because it's evidence that I know Him. And that's why the Bible says, you know, He chastens those He loves. And you know what it means when God convicts me? It means He cares about me. You know, I got two boys and a daughter, and now I got grandkids. And when I'm around them, and I want to tell you this, it don't matter how old your kids are. You know, if you're here and you're 50, 60 years old and your mom and daddy is still living, and they tell you every now and then you need to straighten up, you need to straighten up because they love you. My kids know it don't matter how old you are. I'm never going to compromise with you. I'm never going to tell you it's all right. Just because the world is turning away from God doesn't mean I'm going to turn my back on God to support you in your wrongdoing. And if that's you, mom and daddy, you need to get right with God because you'll never be the example you're supposed to be till God is first in your life. Now, I didn't know that was coming. That's just a sermonette. We're going to read in Luke chapter number 12. Something that's been on my heart for a while. I've been thinking and praying about this. You know, my wife and I went this year and we did our will for the first time. And we did this thing and I had been writing down some things that I wanted to have a list of. And as I began to make this list out, I realized I got a lot of stuff. Last time I preached on this subject was in September of 2014 here at the church. And I want to tell y'all something, folks. In the last 9 years, I've accumulated a lot more stuff. More stuff than I used to have. I want to read this scripture in Luke chapter 12, verse number 13 through verse number 21. I'll just try to share with you the things that are on my heart this morning. Beginning in the 13th verse, says, and one of the company said unto him, speaking to Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now I want to preach for just a few minutes on this subject. Try to obey the Lord. It did guide me. When stuff is all you have. Now I want to tell y'all something, folks. I got a lot of stuff. I sat down and I started making that list. And you know what I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm not, I don't know how long I'm going to have on this earth. You don't know how long you're going to have on this earth. We're reading a story here about a guy that thought he had a lot of time, realized today was his last day. But as I began to make out the list and I looked at all the stuff, and I thought, Lord, I feel bad to die and leave my wife with this. You know, she's even said things to me, you know, what am I going to do with this and what am I going to do with that when you're gone? Now, unfortunately, folks, a lot of members in our church have experienced that. There's been a lot of us that have lost our loved ones, me and people that I love. I was talking to my wife this morning, and I started naming off people, and I said, I miss this person. Yeah. Yeah. I said, I miss seeing them in church, and I miss being able to be around them, and I miss their testimony. And I want to tell you something. There are loved ones in church this morning that say, oh, I miss them. You're just bringing back memories of when they used to sit beside me. You're just bringing back memories of the times that we had together within the house of God. And they did not expect there to be a day that they'd have to deal with all of their stuff. See, my wife doesn't care anything about all of my stuff. Now, you guys, you know how it is. You go to the store with your wife. How many of you ever said this? Do you really need another pair of shoes? I sat there and I thought about it as I was on the bench, and I thought, if we were to take all of my wife's shoes, now she's got them in this closet, she's got them in that closet, she's got a chest at the end of the bed with shoes in it. And I think about these shoes, and we went shopping, we were in Florida, and we went to one of them places that sells Crocs, you know. Now, as a man, I won't be caught dead in a pair. Now, that's up to you. But we went in that store, and she tried, her face lit up. She said, oh, these feel so good. I said, I don't care how good they feel. I'm not putting none on. Well, she put those shoes on, and I looked at them, and they were plastic looking. And I said, how much do those cost? She told me, I went, ooh. But you know what I was thinking? How much fishing tackle can I buy for $65? How much stuff to go deer hunting? How much stuff can I get to go on my boat? And I begin to make that list of things, and I begin to look at it, and I begin to realize, folks, I got a lot of stuff. You got a lot of stuff. We've been blessed. Amen. Some people got more stuff than others. Some of you, now here's something I was thinking about, and there's a few church and people in the church that say, amen. You know, we don't live on farms anymore. We don't have outside barns anymore. I was coming down the road yesterday, and I looked, and there was a guy that had a 20-foot trailer, and he was pulling in to a storage unit. Because we don't have barns, now we rent them. He had a side-by-side, he had a welder, he had a toolbox, and I looked, and it was all this man stuff. And I thought, there's a wife somewhere that's smiling. He's cleaned out the garage, and he's made it to the storage unit. And, you know, a happy wife is a happy life. And he pulled in there, and I thought, he's been told to clean out the garage. Why? Because you and I got so much stuff. But you know what we want? We want more stuff. You know what I want, Brother Billy? I want more stuff. Amen. And if she'd quit buying so many shoes, you could have more stuff. We're blessed. We got stuff. I got stuff. I want to tell y'all, folks, I'm thankful for what God has given me, but I want to tell you something that's more important. It's when I leave this earth, I have a home in heaven, and I'm going to be with the Lord, and it's because I'm saved by the grace of God. It's not what I did. It's what He did. There are people today that think, oh, if I could just get this, it'd make me happy. Y'all have seen the bumper stickers, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's not the case. Because he who dies with the most toys just leaves more to somebody else. You know, Kendra had no idea I was really had this stuff on my heart. She showed me a clip this week on Facebook, and it had Steve Harvey and T.D. Jakes, and they were talking. Steve Harvey was laughing. He said, my kids think because I got money, they getting something. He laughed. He said, I ain't leaving them much. He said, my wife and I have set a goal that we're going to spend 85% of everything that we have and just leave them 15%. He said, they think they waiting around on me to die to get something, but they ain't getting it. And T.D. Jakes started talking, and he said, we need to be more concerned about leaving something in our children than we are leaving something to our children, because a lot of people spend their life serving God and accumulating wealth, and they're leaving it to kids that are not right with God, that are not going to honor God with it, and on to something we might ought to think about what we're going to do with it. Leave something in them, not to them. The greatest thing that my dad left me is my dad was the greatest man that I've ever known. He loved God. He lived for God. He didn't have any money when he left. But I want to tell you something. He left me the heritage of knowing what it means to follow God. That's important. You know, in Mark chapter 8, in verse number 36, it says this. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now think about that for just a minute. And I want to give you just a few points to think about. And this is something to realize, folks. Now, if I thought stuff was more important than God, I'd be a hypocrite above hypocrites because I got the stuff. But I want to tell you something. When I die, there's something better waiting on me. The Bible says that eyes not seen and ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I'm not going to be looking back like King Tut thinking, bury it with me so I can use it. No, God's got something better for you and I. First is this. When stuff is all you have, you will never be satisfied with stuff. Get a hold of that. If stuff is the most important thing to you, you're going to be like this man in this story. Here's what it said. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns, and there I'm going to bestow all of my goods. So what do they have? When people have stuff, but they have nothing else, you can have possessions. You can have status, and you can have fame. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about going to concerts, and they said, can you believe, and they rolled off how many hundreds of dollars it cost to go see some little old country singer girl, and I thought you'd have to pay me more than that just to get me to go. You know whose autograph I want? I want autographs to sign my Bible of men that have loved God, that have preached the Word of God. I'm going to show you the autographs that I've got right here. This is it. I remember one time we was down at Six Flags, me and my children, my grandchildren. I looked, and now this just kind of dates you, my children and my age limit. I looked, I said, that's Evander Holyfield standing right over there. Yeah. And Evander who? Yeah. And my grandson said, who's that? I said, that's the guy that boxed Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson beat him on the ear. And he said, you sure? I said, that's him. Folks, I've been on the airport going to California and look around, and there would be a movie star standing there. You know, they try to dress ugly so you won't recognize them. I just look at them and smile. I was at a hotel out in California, and Bon Jovi walked into the room there where we were we're at to get some lunch. I look down by the pool, and folks, this is just the corporate world getting involved in my life. And down by the pool was Angelina Jolie down there. And I want to tell you something. I never went to one of them and said, I want your autograph, because they did not move me. I want to tell you, fame in this world is nothing. But when somebody spends their life serving God, it means something to me. These preachers sign their Bible, and they give me their life verse underneath it. It means something to me. When I pull the ordination papers off the wall and I see the names of the people who had enough confidence in me to say that they're going to support me preaching the Word of God, every now and then I read it because it means something. Amen. Worldly fame means nothing. Because when people have that and that's all they have, enjoy it. You don't know how much longer you're going to have on this earth. What you going to have when you close your eyes in death? A billionaire was once asked, how much money would it take to be enough? Well-known billionaire. Here's what he said, a little more. You know, some of us, we're planning on retirement. How much does it take? Be careful. Be careful. You know, you don't want to always say a little more. But sometimes we think that way, don't we? I don't have billions, but there are people who have billions who think they need a little more. You see, when stuff is all you have, you're never satisfied with stuff. You're never content. You always want more. Why? Because they love the world. They don't love the things of God. In 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15, the verse says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, when stuff is all you have, number two, you also have a false sense of security. You see, sometimes people think, well, if I can just get enough money, I won't have to worry about this and I won't have to worry about that. There's never any security here. Stock market could fall tomorrow. The food supply could be affected just like that. Your life could be turned upside down just like that. Many people, many times in our history, we've experienced that. That's why I think it's more important that you have a right relationship with God than ever feel like you're secure in this world. You see, this man, he said, I will say to my soul, and here he speaks, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, that's where a lot of people are living their lives today. They're thinking, oh, I've done this. I've worked for it. I've deserved it. I've this, I've that. But, you know, security cannot be found in temporal things. Doesn't the Bible say to lay not up treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt? And where thieves break through and steal. I want to tell y'all something. I work myself to death trying to keep the moth and rust from destroying what I've got. I paint a house and I turn around. It's like the speed at which I paint it. When I come around this side of the house and I finally get here, by the time I get back to where I started, it needs it again. You know, it's almost like I'm looking for a grass seed that just grows about 3.5 inches and stops. I'm looking for a paint that don't have to be waxed, oil that don't have to be changed, and hair that don't fall out. But everything here on this earth is cursed, and there's a curse put on it, and it's going to change, it's going to decay. Don't put your trust in the things of this world, because if you do, you're going to have a false sense of security about financial health. You know, some people, they've got plenty, some have less. But I'll tell you what, you're not taking none of it with you. You know, what about your physical health? You say, I'm doing pretty good, I'm going to be all right. Well, you don't know. My wife and I talk about it sometimes, and, you know, if she and I are watching a commercial and something comes on and they say, if you got this or you got this symptom and you got that symptom, and I say, honey, every commercial that comes on, I've got everything. And we was watching a commercial one time, and it gave 3 or 4 symptoms, and I said, I think I got that. And she hit me. She said, only women get that. I said, but I have the symptoms. You and I don't know, but inside of us, in our mind, it only takes one little blood vessel moving through your brain, and all of a sudden like that, you could be an invalid. You could be drooling on yourself, asking somebody to give you your next bite of food. You don't understand that God holds your life in His hands.
What about your mental health? You feel strong. You feel like you got it under control. You don't even have control over that. I consider myself to be a determined, strong person. But there's been times in my life that I've been proved wrong. I remember going down to Six Flags, and I got on that rocking boat. Y'all remember that? That thing would go up here, and it'd go up here, and I thought, well, I'm afraid of nothing. I ride swing stages on the side of high-rise buildings. This ain't going to be nothing for me. I got on that thing, and it went up, and I lost my grip, and I just fell over. And I'm leaning over against the wall, and I'm thinking, I'm not afraid of this. What's happening to me? I'll tell you something funnier than that. I was down in South Fulton County back when I used to make homemade deer stands. And I would hug the tree, and I would climb it, and I'd turn around, sit on a little stool, and I'm sitting there, and I heard a deer coming for 3 miles, it sounds like, in the leaves. It finally come over the hill, and it come down through there in about a half trot. And I shot that thing, and it turned to flip, and I started jerking. My feet started bouncing on the stand, and I was trying to hook my shirt in the bark of the tree so I wouldn't fall out, because that's before I wore safety belts. I lost my grip on the gun, and I said, Lord, I'm going to have a heart attack because I shot a deer. And I had no control over that. One time I was dealing with a family member. A family member was out of control, and I was trying to help them calm down. I was just holding them, helping my dad hold their hands, trying to keep them from hurting themselves or the family. And it wasn't that I didn't have physical strength or I couldn't do it, but my nerves, just like your nerves, just like the stress that you deal with, that you can't control, just like the depression that you have even as a Christian. And I remember my mouth got so dry that it felt like somebody had stuffed my mouth full of cotton. And I had to turn loose of the person and run to the kitchen sink and get a large glass of water. And no matter how much water I drank, I could not get that cotton out of my mouth that it was choking me. And what it was, here's what I want you to understand. You might think you've got it under control, but just like that, events can change in your life and you realize that you have a false sense of security of when all your strength comes from you and not from God. See, when stuff is all you have, we also find that God says that you're a fool. Oh, there is a God. There is a God. My son came home from college this week, and he's sharing with me about one of those wonderful liberal professors that you just have to endure. I said, when you take the test, you can just imagine the professor with some googly eyeballs and horns on his head and sign it as my professor believes. Because he made the comment, well, you know, it either came from this or it came from that, but either way, you got to believe something. And if you believe in God, then you say, well, who made God? I'll tell you, nobody made God. He's God. He's been there from the foundation. He's the Alpha. He's Omega. He's always been. He's God. You cannot understand Him with a finite mind. And that God, infinite creator, says when all you have is stuff, you're a fool. You see, this man in this scripture was a man without conviction. I and my are his favorite words. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4, the latter part of the verse says that these times, the times that we're living in, people would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You ever get around those kind of people? You know, you just get around them and you don't have to do nothing. It's almost like you just kind of touch their foot and it turns them on.
And they start talking about themselves, and they start talking about all they have, and they talk about all they do. I've got some customers like that. You just go in and say, hey, how's so-and-so? And for 30 minutes, they talk. Say, okay, you're going to give me an order. I can't stand no more of this. I and my, a man without conviction, a man without vision, does not recognize that there is so much more to this life. Folks, there's things that I really enjoy on this earth. There are. You know, I love it. I was out yesterday, and I went across a school of fish, and it was so big under on the graph. I looked at it, and I thought, something's down there. And I threw a bucktail jig out, and all of a sudden, in just a minute, I hung a striped bass. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed that. I thank God for it. I enjoy it when my wife shows me the pictures of my little granddaughter in her little toot-toot as she's going to ballerina stuff. I enjoy it when I see my family sit down together and just have a meal and enjoy time. I enjoy being in the house of God. But I want to tell you, there's more. There's eternity waiting on us. And if you're ready for it, you're going to enjoy it. But if you're not, enjoy what you got, because this is all there is for you. See, you don't, a man like the man in this book, he's not thinking about eternity. He's not thinking about the next life. Luke 12:15 says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Next one, stuff is all you have. This is going to close. You have no inheritance in eternity with God. You know, the greatest thing that my dad could have left me, he left me. This is it. The testimony that he knew God. And because I see him live for God and the realness of it and the faithfulness of it, it made me want to have it. For an inheritance in eternity with God. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with stuff. I've got plenty of stuff. I can remember one time I had Brother Tommy, I know you probably got more than this now, but I had 3 sets of golf clubs. 4. Brother Tommy's got some stuff. You know, my mind changed and I went to something else. Y'all the same way. Lose interest, you just move on to this, you move on to that, you get to wanting something else. You know, it's kind of funny, ain't it? We always seem to be able to afford the things that we really want. But you need more than stuff. Nothing wrong with your golf, ladies. Y'all, you know, as far as I'm concerned, y'all don't have all the shoes y'all want. You men, just buy shoes. Happy wife's a happy life. Stuff. But is it enough? Why is it that so many people today, no matter what they have, they're not content? Doesn't the Bible teach us, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Matthew 16:26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:11. Philippians 4:11. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You see, and here's why that's so important, folks. It's having God's peace. How many of you can look back at a time in your life remembering your family, maybe a grandmother, or maybe the way you was raised and you were brought up? You didn't have as much stuff. There wasn't storage units everywhere. There weren't multiple cars in the garage. There wasn't a big color TV in every room. You just didn't have the things that you have today. But you remember a time when you're around those people and they live for God that they just seemed to be content? They just seemed to be at peace. And they were glad to see you come and visit them. And it didn't matter when it was. They always wanted you to sit down and maybe make some biscuits, some gravy. Maybe cook some strychnine or some ham and say, I just want us to sit down and have a time together. You get together at Christmas and people are more concerned about loving one another and spending time together than they were stuff because they had an understanding of the contentment of the things of God because godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, when stuff is all you have, not enough. And if stuff is all you have, here's what I want to ask you this morning. Who will you leave your life to? There's some people today, right now in this country, that are far wealthier than you can even imagine. But they have nobody to even leave it to. They don't have children. They don't have family. It's not enough. Who are you going to leave your life to? But I want to ask you the most important question as you stand to your feet, please. Who will you leave your soul to? The greatest thing that you could ever do in your life is not get a great education, have a great job, make loads of money, and have all the things that you've ever wanted. That's okay. But the greatest thing you could ever do in your life is meet Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Get on a path in your life that honors Him and live your life for the honor and glory of God. See, God doesn't care what you have. He just cares about what you do first with Him, then how you live your life to honor Him. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I want Him to be first in my life.
Amen.
If you're here, if God spoke to your heart this morning and you feel like you need to pray, the most important thing you can ever, ever do is to know God and walk with Him.
Amen.
And if you'd like to come and pray, the altar is open. Take somebody that you love by the hand. Or if you want somebody to pray with you, you know there are people in this church that will pray with you. If you want to be left alone, just say it when you come down here. Well, come talk to God. While God's speaking to your heart.
Yes.
Would you please? Go ahead.